Ted Tripp said, "Always remember the goal of family worship is knowing God. Do you know God for yourself? When you lose sight of that goal, family worship becomes an empty ritual." Somebody say, "Let it be real, let it be real, let it be real." Let's pray. Holy Father God, help everybody who is having family devotions or single devotions to always remember it's all about you and knowing you and worshiping you and praising you and connecting with you. Otherwise, it becomes nothing but a bunch of words that mean nothing. So, Lord, help everybody as we have talked about before. Help everybody to engage their hearts, their minds, their souls, their spirits, when they are praying to you, connecting with you, and really connect and focus on what they're doing and not let their mind wander, and it just becomes an empty exercise. Help us, Lord, to make sure that we are real with you, because we know that you are real with us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Join me in reading or reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. Can somebody say amen right there? We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. We are still in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Dr. Guzik evidently had a lot to say about this. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Dr. David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word commentary further on the Bible, if all we had in verse 22 was as to the Lord, it might be fair enough to ask, aren't men to live as to the Lord also? Shouldn't men submit to their wives in obedience to Jesus in the same way? Then you wouldn't have a real head of the home, then would you? This is the goal in some marriages. No one is really in charge. We're equal partners. I'll submit to you sometimes, and you submit to me other times. And this is what has been taught by many well-known evangelical leaders, basically as a compromise to sue for peace between husbands and their oftentimes rebellious wives who don't want to submit. My dad was a good man. He was a very loving man. But he loved my mother and he loved us as children too much, in the sense when you have a love that allows people to have their way and do what they want to do. That is not love. That's not the kind of love that God wants us to have. God wants us to have the kind of love for him that we will obey him and do what he tells us to do. And if that means lead your wife and oftentimes or at least sometimes have to say no, wife, we're not going to go that direction. God is leading me in this direction and you need to submit and follow, whether she likes it or not. And when God tells us to chastise and our children, and we don't feel like it, if you're a good parent, you never feel like chastising your children. That is a chore that you'd rather not do. It's just, you know, you don't want to be bothered with that. Most parents, loving parents, don't want to do that. But if you want to have the proper kind of love for your child, and of course, love back to God, you will have to do that. Otherwise, you're going to cause God trouble, with that child being cantankerous, a criminal, rebellious, and painting the town red and pink and purple and everything else for years to come. You're going to cause problems for the state because the state is going to have to put that cantankerous, rebellious, wicked acting child in jail and take care of that person, that human being, that you refuse to deal with at home. And then, if you disobey God in that regard, you are going to cause years of pain and heartache for yourself and for your spouse and for the entire family. So God wants us to obey Him. That is loving Him back. And God wants us to obey our wives and to obey Him to love and properly our wives and our children. And if that means saying no to that wife about running up a credit card or whatever the case might be, or we can't have that right now, we need to save for it, and that we don't need to go out and get a car on credit. We need to listen to Dave Ramsey, and she wants to just go ahead and do it anyway. And we say no, the husband says no, that's love too. That's not hate. That's not being mean. That is love. You're protecting her from years of payments. You say, preacher, don't you envy the people with these new shiny cars? No, because I don't envy their payment. I don't like payments. Payments are a bugaboo. And loving your children is not sitting down and eating a happy meal all the time. That's wonderful. That could be love too. Loving your children is also sitting down eating what they don't want to eat. Broccoli, okra, and other good things like that. So don't get it twisted about love. Love can be tough sometimes, and it should be. And that's how God loves us. That's how Christ loves us. Christ demands discipline. That's why He calls us disciples. There are things, watch this, that we can't do as the bride of Christ. Can somebody say amen? There's some things that God is just not going to allow you to do. There's some things that God will allow you to do. But there's some things He just does not want you to do, that Jesus does not want you to do. And that's why Jesus said, if you love me, if you will, as your husband, then you will obey me. The proof of your love to Christ is obedience. It's not raising your hands up in praise and all that's wonderful and dandy. It's good. But if you're not obedient, then that's the proof of your whether or not you love God, whether or not you love Jesus. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And we got husbands today in name only. You're just being used to show other women that I have a husband too, and then he's so sweet because he does what I tell him, and that's like a nice little boy, and but he's my husband. And in many cases, many men are husbands in name only. The wife has no respect for you, does not obey you, and does not want to hear anything you got to say. Back to the text. We'll just let Jesus be our head and work out each situation as it comes along, he says, and see who will submit to whom. This is what's going on today. We'll just let Jesus be our head, honey. And when situations pop up, and I'll submit to you sometimes, and on, you know, in her mind she's saying, on the minor things, but on the major things, you submit to me. And what happens is, this is a trick of the devil, where if the husband does not submit to her, and he puts his foot down as he should, and all of a sudden he's a big bad monster, he's being mean, he's being abusive, he's a bad person, and the wife is always a little kitty cat, always innocent, and she brings up and raises more hell in many homes than a little bit. And nobody likes to hear that, but that's true. Even women know what I'm saying is true. It's not always the husband. It's not always the husband. Oftentimes it is the wife as well who refuses to obey God. I know people don't like to hear this because the wife is always supposed to be right. She's the sweet little dainty little kitty cat. And she appears, you know, and how she presents herself in front of the folks at the church like she's so innocent. But Spurgeon said it well. We got women who are saints in the church, Christians in the streets, but devils at home. And these things, in the words of James, ought not so to be. This is the truth, and all pastors' wives know what I'm saying is true. Black and white, red and yellow. All women know what I'm saying is true, but you just don't want to hear that because you've been lied to by preachers, pastors for so many years. That's why you're divorced. That's why your children have gone astray. That's why you can't get along with anybody. You're cantankerous. And does the man have fault? Yes, we're going to deal with him. Don't worry about that. Because God deals with all of us in this passage. And you don't have to worry about a thing. God will get that man if he is mistreating you. And if he's abusing you like this man named Rob Porter beating his wife like a man with his fist and all this kind of thing like this, then you need to run. You messed up. You married the wrong person. You married a devil, and you need to hightail it and get away from that person before he kills you. Because that kind of anger like that, that's so explosive and to the point where you fear for your life, and then he wants to apologize as soon as he realizes what he's done, once he sees the look on your face, you need to run from a joker like that. He has anger issues. I don't care if he graduated from Harvard, Barvard, Princeton, Yale, and I don't care if his dad used to be a White House secretary or not. I don't care if he's tall and handsome, because that's the stuff that hooked you. And some of that wildness in him is what attracted you to him. But when he started beating you, laying you down on the floor and beating your face like he's in a cage match or something like that, you better get out of there. And evidently, thanks be to God, two women got out of it. And by the way, ladies, you better investigate Hope Hicks. You better investigate when a man that young has been married twice and divorced twice. There's something wrong somewhere. And men, that goes for women too. You better go and interview that first wife. Don't let it become a competition situation, in a jealousy situation. You better go and sit down with that sister, go to Starbucks or some other coffee shop, and drink some coffee together and say, oh, he sounds like a devil, isn't he? Oh, he may be cute. and all of that, and tall and handsome and debonair and smart and educated and got some money and some, and a family, a rich family, this, that, and other, prestigious, drives a nice car, but he is a devil in disguise. Okay, well, you just saved me a lifetime of trouble. I'm not going to be the third one. And then you need to go and visit with that second one. They have some stories. Okay? Any man who's been married twice and divorced twice, you better investigate. Any woman who's been married twice or one time and divorced, you need to investigate. Go talk with somebody. And avoid a whole lot of trouble. And so we're not talking about that. And if it has to be like that, as far as I'm concerned, you don't need to be together. Do whatever you need to do. To say it simply, back to the text, that isn't a biblical marriage relationship. He's talking about this equal power. Husband and wife have equal power, equal say. You don't have equal say on your job. And if you try to pull that on your job, somebody's going to have the last word and the last say on you, and they're going to fire you. Well, I feel and I think the assembly line ought to go in the reverse direction. And I demand it because I'm an employee with equal power. You're going to be a former employee. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You're going to grab your, they're going to give you a little box, and they're going to say, put your little stuff in there, and here's the exit. The security guard is going to escort you out. That's in anything, even a club. You can't, no. There's always a leader. Back to the text. I want to repeat that now, because I want to repeat that last statement. I want you to understand this. He's talking about, to say it simply, when you try that kind of so-called marriage, it's really not a marriage, as I told you already. To say it simply, he says, that isn't a biblical marriage. And everybody knows it. And all of these pastors and doctors who have lied and said, told you that lie and preached that lie and wrote that lie, they are wrong. They were tricked by the devil, and so many families have been destroyed over it. Not only families, but churches have been destroyed over it, because who do you think the devil is going to attack to try to pull that family out of the church? If the wife has equal say and equal power. And I guarantee you, if you sit down with these pastors who have preach this lie, and with their wives, if they're still married, they will tell you the truth. It has ruined our church. Because as soon that lady gets something twisted and the devil attacks, she's going to leave the family out of the church. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. I've had pastors and their wives who have heard me preach on this for years. They, in fact, invited me to the church to try to save the situation because they would dare not say it, who used to preach this. Both the pastor and the pastor's wives have told me on at least two occasions that that has not worked, that these women see a new shiny church in town that lets them have their way further. They lead the whole family out of a Bible-believing church. It's happened time and time again. That's why pastors need to keep on preaching the word where men are supposed to be in charge of the family. And I don't care if the president likes it. I don't care if the government likes it. I don't care if the world likes it. The church needs to do it God's way and stop trying to be like the world. Amen, somebody. I know I'm talking real good. And you say, well, my wife would just raise hell if I tried to, will she kick and buck and rebel? And I mean, yes, yeah. But you better stand firm on the word of God, or you're not going to have a marriage or family worth a flip, man. And if you, sir, cannot say what you need to say in your family because it's going to rock the boat, then, hey, rock the boat. Turn the boat over. Because you don't have a family. You don't have a marriage, man. I don't know what you have. And you got men who will, who've been so whipped by their wives who will challenge me on that. And they know I'm right. You don't know where your wife is half the time. You don't know where your children are half the time. I'm talking about your children living with you. You can't say nothing. I know that's a double negative, but it sounds better. It sounds stronger to me. You can't say nothing to nobody about nothing. Your children walk by you with earphones on or with a device coming from somewhere, and you can't tell. You can't. Not only can't you tell them anything, they won't hear you anyway, because they are jam boogieing as they're walking through your Christian home, and you can't tell them to sit down. You can't tell them to look at me in the eye, because see, when they're rebellious and stubborn, they don't want to look at you in the eye. Those demons, those devils, don't want to look you in the eye. They start mumbling and talking an alien language. They mumble. When they're rebellious and they're stubborn and the devil's got a hold of them through some doorway, through music or through videos or video games. If you got a son who stays in his room and plays video games all day long, he don't even come out to go to the bathroom, hardly. You got a problem. You're not going to be able to talk to him. It's love, too, to sit them down and say, listen, cut the video off, man, and go read a book. Or come golfing with me, or let's go throw the football or something. Get out of here. Back to the text. It ignores the essential order of creation, he says, when people do that. I know I'm crying. I'm one crying in the wilderness. I know it. I'm not trying to fit in. That's what's wrong with the church today. All pastors are lockstep, trying to fit in with each other. They look alike. They comb their hair the same way. If this great preacher does something, then everybody else does it. Come on, man. God is not in that. You're following man. You're not following God. And it ignores not only the order of creation, and it ignores the model of the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. Now, you know we're not co-equal with Jesus. But yet, we're the bride of Christ. The church is extremely powerful by the power of Jesus Christ, but we're not equally powerful to him. He is the head. Can somebody say amen?
I'm never going to listen to you anymore. I'm not going to give you any more likes, or you're not talking nice and sweet to me.
Well, go listen to the devil, because the devil talks nice and sweet to you all the time. And by the way, ladies, devilish men talk nice and sweet to you, and they tell you lies, and you like to hear it. And you end up broken and hurt and messed up and messed over. Two of Rob Porter's wives, the ex-wives, said, the reason why I stayed with him is because he could be so sweet sometimes. So sweet. Well, the devil can be sweet, too. He transforms himself into an angel of light. And by the way, I had this thought the other day, totally unrelated. Forgive me. Why do they call them, why do they call those women, Victoria's Secret angels. Why do they call them angels? They're actually walking around as naked as they are. Could be called Victoria's Secret devils. Just a thought. Don't get mad with me. Yes, humanly speaking, I love how they look too. And I understand angel as a man. I understand the word angel. But really, they could be called Victoria's Secret devils. But back to my original point, all devilish men talk sweet. They will tell you what you want to hear until they get you and get you doing what they want you to do. And just like a big bad wolf, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, a Mr. Porter can turn on you real quick to the point you don't even know this man, because you're dealing with a Dr. Devil and Mr. Hyde, a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Some of y'all are involved with people like that today. Men and women can be so sweet at one moment, but turn on you like a devil from hell. Their voice changes, their eyes turn red on you. You better be careful. And before you marry somebody, you better investigate. You better investigate the devils in the background, because they may have a devilish, demonically driven father. Well educated, got money, prestige, but a devil who beat the hell out of his wife, or a mean, hateful mother. You better check them out before you marry people who has a secret iron skillet that she uses as a weapon to bang that man upside the head to keep him under control. And maybe some violence in the background. Okay. I knew I was in trouble when my wife's father called me collect from Jamaica. That was back in the day when it cost money, Jack. You couldn't call anybody anywhere on like you can do today. And I had to end that phone call because I had to pay that telephone bill. He got mad at me. I told him, I can call my daughter in town. I said, well, you can call in town. You're as long as you pay the bill. I said, oh, boy. What am I getting myself into? Anyway, God bless you. God loves you. I love you. I want you to do it God's way, because you'll be blessed. The husband will be blessed. The wife will be blessed. The children will be blessed. And if you don't think so, how you doing right now? How's it going for you, your newfangled way? Is it working for you? I doubt it. So do it God's way and bring on the happiness in your life and the peace and the joy in your family. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would heal every Christian family, as you know, Lord, as I've prayed for 30 years. By helping us to do it your way, not our way. To do it your way. For the husband to be what he is supposed to be according to your holy word. For the wife to be what she's supposed to be according to your holy word. For the children to be what they're supposed to be. Equals peace according to your holy word. Equals joy. Equals productivity and getting things done, encourages an environment of peace and order, where everybody can feel safe and feel like they're being treated fairly and that nobody is going to be able to take advantage of them, and that way they can train and learn and soar and do great things and get prepared in a healthy way to depart from the family and embark upon their own lives, taking the good, eating the chicken and leaving the bones, and making a better life for themselves and for their family that they will have in the future, if that be your will. We give you the glory, praise, and honor. We do believe that every generation ought to get better and better and be better than the last. So, Lord, we thank you for helping us to build on the foundations of your holy word. We pray that you'll help us to do it. For your glory, your praise, and honor, heal every marriage, heal every family based upon biblical truth, based upon everybody in the family doing what they're supposed to do according to your holy word, whether we like it or not. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage reading for today is Psalm 107, verses 23 through 32. And don't be surprised if I cut it short. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Now you know that man didn't write stuff like this. God led them by the power of the Holy Spirit to write stuff like this. This is beyond any man's little feeble mind to talk like this. To write like this, this is absolutely amazing. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Has your soul ever been melted because of trouble? Don't let your soul get melted because of trouble. Because you're going to have a whole lot of trouble in life. Job said, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's always something. You can't quit because you're having trouble. How many thousands, how many millions of folks have quit on life because they had trouble, they ran into trouble? May God deliver us all from these people who think every day is going to be sweet and wonderful and easy and you're never going to have any trouble, and they get all blown out, they allow themselves to get all blown up out of things, all out of proportion, get sad and depressed and defeated, and they quit and they throw in the towel on life on any given day because they ran into some trouble, and they get so depressed, so defeated, so disgusted, and oftentimes can't get back on track because they are troubled by trouble. Don't be that way. Keep on soldiering on. Keep on marching. Keep on going. And you'll be amazed at what God will do for you if you just keep on walking by faith. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Verse 28, and this is what you need to do when you're in trouble. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Some of you are depressed, defeated, disgusted, and mad because you have not prayed to God in your trouble. We got folks who the only time they pray is when they are facing trouble. Then we got some folks, the only time they pray is when the sun's shining and everything is wonderful. These are two extremes that you ought not to go to. You ought to pray every day to God so that when things are going well, you pray. When things are going badly, you pray. Back to the word, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. How many of you know that to be true? You can be going through a very difficult situation, but if you just keep on praying, God will give you peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable. Verse 30, then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. God wants you to praise him throughout the week by yourself and with your family and with a few others. But God also wants you to go to church on Sunday and give him the glory, praise, and honor. And just like there's nothing like the communication form of preaching, there's nothing like going to a Bible-believing, God-honoring, Christ-honoring church on Sunday morning. So make sure you go. And we know for a fact that many people don't go anymore because they go to church online, and we know this because we own Go to Church Online. So we see you staying home when you should be at church. And because Go to Church Online was built for the sick and shut-in and for those being persecuted around the world, not for healthy people to sit down and drink coffee at the house and look at a church service. Be that as it may, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, let those who go to see consider and adore the Lord. Mariners have their business upon the tempestuous ocean, and their witness deliverances of which others cannot form an idea. How seasonable it is at such a time to pray. This may remind us of the terrors and distress of conscience many experience, and of those deep scenes of trouble which many pass through in their Christian course. Yet, in answer to their cries, the Lord turns their storm into a calm and causes their trials to end in gladness. By the way, folks, I believe every Christian who's been saved as long as I have, and they have followed the Lord, will tell you that I would not take anything for my journey. I would not take anything for the chastisement that God put on me many years ago. I would not take anything for the trials and the tribulations and the troubles that forced me to pray to God and to cry out to God and to see his deliverance. Can somebody say amen? Join me, my beloved, as we pray for the estates and all people. You know what the estates are by now. Let's get right to it. Let's pray first for the church. Holy Father God, we pray for your church. Help us to pray in the church, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, to humble ourselves. And we pray that you would revive us again. We pray for all evangelists, all pastors, all teachers, and all servant leaders in the church. Pray for all deacons, that you give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, including those who are in the pews and who are not serving in servant leadership. We also pray, Lord, for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, blessings upon them. And Lord, we pray for the president and all other governmental servant leaders based upon your holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray, Holy Father God, for President Donald Trump and his administration. We pray also for his family. We pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, all leaders of federal agencies, including the United States Postal Service, and Postmaster General Megan Brennan, including all state governors, including Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. And we pray for all city mayors, including New Orleans, Louisiana mayor, which used to be Mitch Landrieu. I think there's another person in that office now. And we pray for them. We pray for all members of Congress, including California Representative Ami Bera, all law enforcement officials, including Tulsa, Oklahoma Police Chief Chuck Jordan, all military leaders, James Mad Dog Mattis, Admiral John M. Richardson, Chief of Naval Operations, leaders of nations around the world, Djibouti's President Ismail Gullah, and Prime Minister Abdul Mohammed. Lord, save everybody's soul in leadership, and we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings for all of these people. We also pray that for the people and for the citizens. By the way, again, we pray for the family of that police officer who was killed just last night in the great city of Dallas, particularly Richardson, and comfort them and comfort everybody involved in that awful situation. We pray for the health of the other person who was shot too. And we pray for, we do thank you that the person has been caught and captured, and we pray for the salvation of his soul. We pray for the people, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, lead, guide, and direct the people in the way that you would have them to go. For in a democracy, the people are the true leaders who make the decisions about who will lead them. And we pray for the people who are not in such a government around the world, that you would save them and bless them and provide for them and lead them in the way that you want them to go. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray for the media, the traditional media, as well as the new media. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and help them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we pray that they would not create fake news and phony news. We also pray for the current events around the world. Lord, you know about them, so we're not here to inform you, but to pray to you as you have commanded us to do for these people. We pray for the recovery of hundreds of wounded in the Taiwan earthquake, for grace, strength, and comfort for the survivors to get through this awful time. And we pray that you'll give them wisdom in destroying those buildings that have been impacted by this earthquake. We pray for the comfort of the families of two people, killed in a train collision in South Carolina. Comfort them as only you can. We pray for the recovery of the over 100 people who were injured. We pray for an end to the fighting in Syria and for the protection of civilians and for the recovery of the devastated country. And Holy Father God, we pray for the prayer requests of the people who have written in, hundreds. We thank you for entrusting us with these prayer requests. Help us to be faithful in praying for each and every one. And we pray for all of them that you would grant them salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings in each of their situations and lives and in each family member's life. We pray for a few by name. We pray for Ravi. Please provide them all the needs, all he needs, rather, to repair their church after an earthquake. We pray for, is that in Taiwan? Is Ravi in Taiwan? Huh? Spell it. Okay. We pray, Lord, for justice. Please provide him the money he needs to buy medicine for his mother. We pray for Eleanor. Please give her a new job and have the people from her former job to pay her the money she is owed. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted your Savior. We pray that through this ministry, through the preaching of the gospel, we pray for Deshita. We pray for Victor. We pray for Rasak. Help these to grow in the faith and help us to be the disciples of the disciples that you want us to be around the world who are getting saved. We also pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Christ. We pray for Samuel. We pray for Prosper, and we pray for Ishua. And we pray that you would help these to stand strong in the faith and never go back into a backslidden state. And Holy Father God, we pray that we rather commit these souls into your hands as well as our lives. Do your will in our lives. Glorify your holy name in the end. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading for today is What Makes God Smile, Part 8, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. You may have had unpleasable teachers or unpleasable parents as you were growing up. Please don't assume God feels that way about you. There's some parents who will hold that kind of thing. They will withhold love and affection to try to control you and to make you jump through hoops is what he's talking about. It's a shame before God that there are parents like that. There are, because of our sinful nature. He knows you are incapable of being perfect or sinless. In fact, he tells us that, I believe, in Psalm 103. The Bible says he certainly knows what we are made of. He bears in mind that we are dust. What God looks at is the attitude of your heart. Is pleasing him your deepest desire? This was Paul's life goal. More than anything else, however, we want to please him, whether in our home, here, or there. When you live in light of eternity, my God, help us. Your focus changes from how much pleasure am I getting out of life to how much pleasure is God getting out of my life. How about that? God is looking for people like Noah in the 21st century. People willing to live for the pleasure of God. The Bible says the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who are wise who want to please God. Will you make pleasing God the goal of your life? There is nothing that God won't do for the person totally absorbed with this goal. God is looking for somebody like that. Somebody who makes God smile. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this entire time together and this entire devotional. And we praise you and we thank you for those who work hard and who help me to do this. And we thank you for allowing us to get to this point. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage the hearts of your people and save those who are lost. Help us to take heed to what we have heard today and to do it. And some repentance needs to take place in families, and some of us need to do an about face and make radical changes for the saving of our families, for the healing of our families, and for the growth and strengthening of our children. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray that you will help us to do it. Amen. Now, beloved, if you're with us today, and if you are not sure that when you die, you would go to heaven, allow me to share with you how you can be saved from hell and go to heaven when you leave this earth. Just like you plan for your death by buying life insurance, you pay property insurance in case something happens. Well, death is going to happen, and you will be confronted with God when you die. And the question is, where would you go when you die? you know your soul is going to live forever somewhere, heaven or hell. If you want to go to heaven, first accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We are all going to die. Rest assured. When we die because of sin. Our body goes to the grave and decays. Our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in that simple prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner by choice and by nature. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments by living a life of lying, of lusting, of stealing, of disobeying my parents and dishonoring my parents, and many other sins. I realize that I am guilty, and that according to your word, I deserve hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me, and forgive me of all of my sins, my failures, my shortcomings, and my faults. Wash my sins away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, that he shed his pure blood for my sins, that after he died, they buried him, and that he rose again from the dead on the third day. Lord Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. Please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my wicked, evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Just like we said, you, oh yeah, love and happiness, I hope it's coming back.